Ron Yates was jolted from his sleep in his hotel room in the heart of Saigon on this day 30 years ago.
Around 4 o'clock in the morning, we came under a really heavy barrage of artillery and rocket attack. Most of it was on the outskirts of Saigon, and especially around Tan Son Nhut, which is the airbase. But a few made their way in toward the center of the town, and I remember, you know, sitting up in my bed, and there was plaster falling off the ceilings along with a bunch of gecko lizards and everything else under the bed. And I thought to myself, this is not good. And I went out and looked out the window, and all the home guard troops, these are mostly teenagers in Saigon at the time, were running around shooting in the air, shooting anywhere, you know. And I hollered down at one of them because I knew some of them. I used to pay them to take me to the PTT office to file my stories after curfew because there was a curfew and you didn't want to be out after curfew unless you were escorted. And I said, "What's going on?" And this kid named Na yelled up and says, "Boku VC, mini VC." I said, "What? Where?" And he said, "Everywhere." And they were just shooting indiscriminately, and bullets were ricocheting off buildings. And I said, "This is absurd." You know, I'm getting back inside, and finally things calmed down. Obviously, the North Vietnamese were not in the city at that point. They were still way out. But that's the kind of panic that existed within the city. People were terrified. They thought for sure they were all going to be executed. And, you know, because they were South Vietnamese.
Evacuation plans were sketchy. Yates says he never heard the radio broadcast of the song "White Christmas" that was to signal the final exit. Still, he and others knew they had to go somewhere.
There were certain evacuation points where the press corps were supposed to go. And we went to the first one, and we couldn't go out of that one because it was a building on the Saigon River, which was above that building was another building, and on top of that building were 50-caliber machine guns facing right at the helipad. So we decided we're not going to go out from there. We better go someplace else. And we wandered around the city for about an hour. And finally, I went to the embassy, thought I might be able to get into the embassy, but there must have been 20,000 people outside the embassy, you know, screaming and yelling and throwing things and trying to get over the wall. And I said, I'm not going to get through that crowd, you know. In fact, I was embarrassed. I didn't want to be the American who goes, "Let me through. I'm going into the embassy." And while all these Vietnamese were outside the wall, I just couldn't do that. We jumped on a bus. The bus was an old military bus. And the Marine who was driving it said, "We're headed for Tan Son Nhut, which is the airbase." The airbase at the time was under tremendous attack. I mean, just incredible. The 130-millimeter artillery shells landing on the runway. It was just a horrendous place to be going into. And I thought to myself, this is nuts. Why would I want to go out here? But it was the only place you could go because it was the only place where these big CH-53 Sea Stallion heavy choppers could land. These are big helicopters that will carry about 75 people. And as we pulled up to the gate of Tan Son Nhut, at least the military portion of the gate, the guards began shooting at our bus, or shooting over the bus, trying to make us go away. And we stopped and parked the bus, actually backed it up a little bit. And the Marine who was on board the bus with us had a two-way radio, and his code name was Wagon Master. And he yelled. He yelled in the radio to the DAO compound, which is the defense attaché office. Says, "What should we be doing? What should we do?" And the guy says, "You know, I can't tell you. He says, I would just ram the gate and get through it." So the bus backed up, and the trounced the accelerator. The bus lurched forward. We were hitting about 60 miles an hour. We were all below the window wells. We didn't want to be above the windows. And I thought for sure we were going to get peppered. And inexplicably, as we got right to the gates, the guards threw the gates open. We went roaring through. I popped up, and to the left, there was a helicopter that had just been shot down. We looked up in the air, and there was a C-119 taking off from the airfield. And I was really surprised to see this thing taking off because I don't know how the hell they got it up in the air, you know, because there were a lot of holes, craters everywhere on the runway. He gets up in the air, probably approaching 2,000 feet. And a SAM goes up and knocks it right down. And we see this thing get hit and fall right back into an area of Cholon, which was the sort of like the Chinese sector of Saigon.
Yates's bus makes it to the defense attaché office as rockets and mortars explode nearby. The evacuees were issued name tags to attach to themselves, the same tags that were used to identify bodies. They awaited a helicopter to get them out to sea to a waiting carrier.
We got out to what they call a platform landing ship dock, and it was a ship called the USS Denver. And we landed on the deck of that thing, and for the next couple of hours watched just a steady stream of Hueys, hit choppers from, Air America choppers, South Vietnamese Army choppers coming in and landing. And as soon as they would land, they'd push them over the side because they had no room for them. And at some point, they decided we can't even let them land on the deck anymore. So they said, no, you can't land. So the choppers would fly near the carrier and tilt over, and they would open the door, and then he would move the stick in the other direction, and the chopper would tilt this way, and then he would jump out. And not only by themselves, but their families, children and women and everybody, jumping out of these choppers at 20, 25 feet up, and the chopper would peel off and go the other way, and they would fall this way. And sometimes I thought these people were not going to make it because the rotors came flying down into the water and hit within, 15, 20 feet from these people. It was really, I couldn't believe it.
How many people eventually made it out on that day? Are you aware of?
There were about 1,300. There actually were 1,300, according to the official count, 1,373 Americans got out on the final day. And 5,680 Vietnamese got out in the final 24 hours.
And many were left behind.
And, thousands were left behind. And, that's the sad thing about it is, from an American point of view, I felt really guilty about it. As a journalist, often you feel guilty when you're covering war or any kind of a catastrophe like that. I can't help feeling guilty because I know I can leave. Those people cannot. That's where they live. That's their home. They have no way of getting out. And I always knew I could come in there, do my work, and I could leave again and go back to something better. Those people had nothing to look forward to other than many of them prison. And they didn't call these things prison. They called them re-education camps. But when I went back again in 85, I think as many as 50, 60,000 people were scattered around Vietnam in re-education camps still 10 years later. Doing hard labor.
Today, Vietnam is trying to develop a market economy and improve its relations with the U.S. Yates says when you ask its residents about the war now, they say they don't have time to think about the past. Living for today is more important. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.